Good morning once again. I want to start by asking you a question that I already know the answer to. Okay. You're all going to raise your hand, so just get ready. Have you ever said or done something that has led you to either immediately afterwards or pretty soon afterwards to either say or think, oops, or some other colorful version of the word oops? Have any of you ever done that? Just admit it, come on, okay. Think back to that, okay? Think back to one of those oops moments. You can pick any one that you want to. Think back to that. Did that moment come out of nowhere? Like just out of left field? All of a sudden you did something and you didn't see it coming. All of a sudden you said that to that person, or you crossed that line and it just came out of nowhere. Or if you look back, were there some red flags? I mean, were you kind of inching towards that? I mean, let's say that what yours is that you called somebody something, okay? Did that just come out of nowhere? Or had you called that person that or something similar in your mind at least a couple of times beforehand? Let's say that you crossed some kind of line, a moral or an ethical line, to come out of nowhere. Or had you been kind of inching towards it a little bit, testing those waters, dipping your toe in it just a little bit? Hey, look, there are times when our big, bad decisions just come out of nowhere. But more often than not, that's not the way that it happens. It's not just that one day, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we make a big, bad decision. For most of us, more often than not, it's that we slowly inch towards things. We slowly drift. This morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little bit of fun as we talk about this phenomenon of us drifting. We're going to have a little bit of fun. And then we're going to look at a story about somebody who drifted. And then I'm going to give you something pretty practical to do. In fact, you've got a take-home that we put in your bulletins. We're going to look at that. I'm going to give you something pretty practical to do. And all of this has one simple goal. Here's the goal for this morning: to help you prevent your next oops moment. We can't deal with the ones in the past this morning. I want to help you prevent the next one. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time that we get to spend together. Lord, we know that you've been with us this morning thus far, that you've been with us as we've sung together, as we've heard music, as we've prayed together, and now won't you be with us as we look at some scripture together. Lord, you know that I've prepared some words, but I pray that in this moment that you bring them to life. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, how many of you, by a show of hands, are going on some kind of a vacation this summer? You're getting out of Dallas on some kind of a vacation. Okay. How many of you, that vacation, how many of you are going to some kind of a beach this summer? You're going to some kind of a beach. Okay. Ramsey, you're going to a beach. Okay? Ramsey, what beach are you going to?
Galveston.
Ramsey's going to Galveston. Ramsey loves Galveston. Galveston is Ramsey's favorite beach on the planet, right? On the whole planet. In related news, Ramsey's only ever been to one beach. She's only been to Galveston. Okay. How many of you are driving just a little bit further than Ramsey and are going to the Florida Panhandle? Anybody going to the Florida Panhandle this summer? A few of you? 30A is on the Florida Panhandle, if you didn't know that. That may get a couple more hands up here. I fancy myself to be a bit of an expert when it comes to the Florida Panhandle, okay? I've been going to the Florida Panhandle for 38 years. My first trip to the Florida Panhandle was when I was 4 weeks old, okay? I know a few things about the Florida Panhandle, and I'm a little bit worried that those members of our community that go to 30A are missing out on the full experience. 30A is a small stretch of road in the Florida Panhandle between Destin and Panama City Beach. It's where Seaside, Rosemary, Alice Beach, Watercolor, all of those places are. And all of those places are great. But if you're here this morning or you're watching online, maybe you're in 30A, I'm just a little bit concerned that the 30A people are missing out on the full Florida Panhandle experience. Because here's the deal. If you just drive 30 minutes past 30A, then you will be in the true Florida Panhandle, okay? 30A is like a little bubble, and that's great, and it's good, but you're missing a full cultural experience. If you drive just 20 or 30 minutes more, then you will be at the home of Club La Vila, the home of 1990s MTV Spring Break, the home of Pineapple Willie's and Alvin's Island. You will be in the original Redneck Riviera, Panama City Beach, Florida, okay? And that's where I grow up going, okay? That's where I grow up. We would leave Georgia, we cross the Hooch, that's the Chattahoochee River, the one that Alan Jackson famously went down yonder on, okay? We cross that, then we drive through LA, lower Alabama, and then pull right in to Panama City Beach. And see, here's the thing. I have nothing against 30A. Where my family has landed now, we stay right between Panama City Beach and 30A. We stay at a little hidden jewel called Carillon Beach. And if you turn right out of Carillon Beach, you're in Panama City Beach. If you turn left, you're on 30A. And here's the difference. If you go west and you end up in Seaside or Watercolor or places like that, you know what you get? You get things like lime and avocado sorbet. Which is great, that's fine. If you go east, then you're gonna find me at Pineapple Willie's with a plastic bucket full of ribs, okay? You see the difference? You need both those things, okay? If you go towards Seaside and 30A, you can get a great little 30A sticker for your Suburban, okay? That's great. But if you come with me over to PCB, you can get an airbrushed t-shirt with your girlfriend's name on it, okay? That's what you get in PCB. If you go to 38, you're liable to run into my boss and mentor, Paul Rasmussen, hanging out at Watercolor, okay? But if you come over to Panama City Beach, you're likely to run into my friend and first cousin, Michael Pitts, who is a professional hunter, okay? And if you like hunting, you should follow my first cousin. It's the_real_Pitts. Okay? It's a professional hunter. We don't hang out in 30A all that much. We hang out at Sharky's and at Pineapple Willie's. But there's one thing that is consistent along the whole Florida coast and at whatever beach you might be going to. If you walk out on any of those beaches and you look to the left or you look to the right, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see flagpoles all along the way. And every morning, somebody goes up there and they raise a different colored flag. And if it's a green flag, it means it's safe for swimming. Children have fun. If it's yellow, it means there are gonna be some big waves and maybe a bit of an undertow, but you can still get in the water. If it's red, it means you gotta stay on the shore. And if it's purple, do anybody know what purple means? Dangerous marine life, okay? Some kind of animal out there, okay? Here's the thing. If you ask anybody who's afraid to go in the ocean why they're afraid to go in the ocean, they're probably going to tell you that they're afraid of what? Sharks. Okay, now here's the thing. I don't know if y'all know this or not. Sharks don't really attack people. Okay? It never happens. Okay, now look, if you were bitten by a shark one time, I'm very sorry, okay? It almost never actually happens. You know what the real danger of the ocean is? It's not the shark. The real danger of the ocean is the rip current. The real danger of the ocean is that you're out there on your boogie board and you don't realize it, but slowly you're drifting out further and further to a place where you begin to feel unsafe. Or you're out there and you're up to your chest and you don't really feel it, but slowly with every wave, and then the water that comes back that you don't even realize, you're losing a couple of inches every minute. That's the real danger of the ocean. It's not all of a sudden that some big bad shark gets you. It's that you slowly drift out further and further until you look up and you realize that you're a lot further from shore than you ever intended to be. Sometimes what gets us in life is that we make one big bad decision and it comes out of nowhere. But more often, it's that we slowly drift. We slowly drift away from one relationship and towards another one. We slowly drift away from selflessness and generosity, and we drift towards making our life about ourselves. We slowly drift away from our integrity. That's the real danger. And at the beach, they have warning mechanisms set up to help you to know when you shouldn't go in the water. Those flags. This morning, I want to show you the story of a guy who was in water that he never should have been in. I want to tell you the story about a guy who had red flags waving all around him, but he just kept going forward. So as you hear this story, won't you think about your story and where you might be drifting and where the red flags might be around you? If you want to follow along, it's printed in your bulletins, or you can turn with me in the blue Bible that's in front of you to page 284, and we're going to look at the first five verses of 2 Samuel chapter 11. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab with his officers and all Israel with him. I don't know if you know this, but in the spring in the ancient Middle East is when kings went out to battle. You know how I knew that? Because it says that right there. Okay. No, it was a seminary. It just says it right there. In the spring is when kings go out to battle. So David, he sends Joab, his chief general, and all of the other men of Israel, and he sends them out, and they ravage the Ammonites, and they besiege Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. David's the king. When kings go out to battle, David remained at Jerusalem. Here's our first big red flag. Here's something that I just know. Whenever you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're less likely to begin doing what you're not supposed to be doing. And whenever you stop doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's more likely that you're going to start doing what you're not supposed to be doing. David didn't set out to do what he's going to do in just a minute. He just made one decision. I'm going to sit this war out. We don't know why. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he had grown arrogant because of all the land that they had gained. Maybe he began to feel like Joab needed to do something for a change. I, David, have done enough. He just makes the decision to stay home. He doesn't do what he's supposed to do, to go out to war. And look at what happens. It happened late one afternoon when David rose from his couch. And here you can see the author kind of poking David. Not only is he home at Jerusalem, but what's he doing? All the other men are at war, and what's David doing? He's hanging out on his couch. And he was walking around on the roof of the king's house. That's when he saw from the roof a woman bathing. So he's staying at home. He's gotten a little bit lazy. And now he sees a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. So when he saw the woman bathing, he at least took a second look. David sent someone to inquire about the woman. It's another step. It was reported to him, presumably from one of his servants, "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam." And that's where the sentence should stop. Bathsheba is her first name. Daughter of Eliam would be like her last name. This is the way that people are typically introduced. But the servant then does David a favor. "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." What's the servant doing? red flag. So what does David do? David sent messengers to get her. Blew right by it. And she came to him, and he lay with her. Do you see that progression? Do you see how clear this is? David didn't wake up that morning and say, I think that I'll commit adultery with Uriah's wife today. He didn't do that. He woke up and he was in an environment that he shouldn't be in. He got lazy. He then saw something. He then inquired about her. He then invited her over, and then he lay with her. It wasn't a shark that came out of nowhere. He slowly drifted. Now, she was purifying herself after her period. It's a parenthetical statement that you think maybe isn't important, but then this is what happened. Then she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. And she sent and told David, I'm pregnant. And now that little parenthetical statement about the fact that she was cleansing herself from her period after her wife Uriah went off to battle, well, all of a sudden that parenthetical statement becomes pretty important. If you don't know why, ask your mom or your dad this afternoon, okay? And David has found himself in trouble. And if you know the rest of the story, which we're not going to look at, the drift doesn't end here. He's only halfway out as far as he's going to go. Because he then calls Uriah back, and he could just apologize to Uriah. That would get him back to shore. But instead, he tries to cover it up. He tries to get Uriah to sleep with Bathsheba. And then when Uriah won't do that, he then resorts to good old-fashioned murder. David did not decide to be an adulterer or a murderer. He just drifted a little bit at a time. Now, you may not be able to relate with the specifics of his story, but can you not relate with the spirit of this story? Just a little bit at a time. A little bit away from that relationship and towards that one. A little bit away from your integrity and towards toying with and then just cutting a little bit of a corner. Just a little bit of a drift where you just get a little more irritated and you spend a little more time building a case about that person in your mind. Just a little bit of a drift. And all along, there are red flags. David should have seen the red flag just by virtue of the fact that he's still in Jerusalem. His servant then helps him out by waving the red flag and saying, this is Uriah's wife. There are red flags all over the place, but he just drifts a little more out to sea. Here's the bottom line, friends, and it's pretty simple, but don't mistake this simple statement for a simplistic statement. Pretty simple, though. Not all water is safe for swimming. Not all water is safe for you to dip your toe into. I mean, there are some environments and there are some relationships. There are some activities that are green flag activities and you just have at them. And there are some that are yellow that mean proceed, but proceed with caution. And then there are some red flag activities, some places, some relationships, some activities that you just don't want to have anything to do with. And I can't tell you what all of them are because my red flag activities may be green for you and your red ones might be green for me. But do you not know that there are some places that are just not safe for swimming for you? I mean, you want to avoid your next oops moment? Avoid the water that's not safe to be in. Yeah, I had somebody say one time, he and his girlfriend were in college and they were trying not to sleep together. And he said, we discovered that it was way easier to say goodnight on the first floor in the lobby than on the third floor in her dorm room. Right? Once they were up there, red flag, okay? I had somebody else tell me one time that they found that it was easier to say no to the Oreos at 10 a.m. in the grocery store than 10 p.m. in her kitchen, right? You just have to be wise enough to avoid certain red flag environments. For you, what are some red flag environments? Club La Vila in Panama City Beach, Florida is a red flag environment. Maybe there are other clubs that for you are red flag environments. You just know I don't need to be in those places. Maybe it's the bar, or maybe I'm trying to lose weight right now the cake bar down in Trinity Grove. It's the best dessert in Dallas. Right now, I got to stay away from that place. I'm going to eat a lot of red velvet cake. Playing Monopoly with your family, maybe that's a red flag environment. You just know where it's going. You're gonna fight with each other. Okay? What are your red flag environments? What are the places that you just know you need to keep your foot out of that water? In your bulletins, you should have a card like this. On the left, you got a green flag. These are your healthy environments. On the right, you got a red flag. These are hazardous environments. In the middle, there's not a yellow flag, but that's what that middle column's for. Will you take a few minutes this week just to jot some of those down, particularly these red flags? What are the things that you just know for you? When I find myself in those environments, it's just not good for me. For some of you, this is a week to do that. But I want to get under the surface with some of you for just a couple of minutes. For some of you, you're sitting there and you're saying, I have already blown by every red flag. And I'm already way out at sea. I'm further out than I ever thought that I'd get. Further out than I ever thought that I'd be. Some of you are sitting there and you're saying, I don't need to hear about red flags. I need to know what do I do when I'm 300 yards offshore and don't know how to get back. For some of you, this is a week to talk about your red flags. For some of you, you know what this is? This is the week when you finally admit that you can't get back to shore and you call for the chopper. You wave your hands in the air and you say, I need rescue. You put your skis up, you pull that little thing on your life jacket that sends out the glow-in-the-dark stuff in the water. You do whatever you can to wave down the chopper to say, I'm here. You get down on your knees and you say, God, I have drifted further than I ever thought that I could. I'm embarrassed by it. I'm ashamed of it. I don't know how to get back to shore. I'm on my knees. God, I need rescue. This is the week that after you get up off of your knees, you then call a friend or you call a pastor or you call a counselor and you say, I am so far out, I don't know how to get back. I need a lifeline. Maybe this is the week that you call in the chopper. If you're so far out, this is the week that you do that. Because, and I'll close with this. Have you ever thought about it this way? You know what the church is? The church is just a whole bunch of us that have already been pulled out of the deep end and brought back to the shore. We're not a bunch of people that have it all figured out. We're not a bunch of people that are morally superior. We're just people that at some point realized, I don't really want to do this on my own anymore. I'm too far out. And at some point we put our skis in the air and said, I'm right here. Take me back. And we're now people that get together once a week and we thank the chopper. And we try to spend our days living in line with what the chopper wants. Not because we have to, but because once the chopper saves you, you kind of want to. And we're people that, as often as we can, wade back out into that deep water to help other people find the chopper for themselves. That's what the church is. We're people that have drifted out and that God has brought back. So this week, what are your red flags? What's that water that is just not safe for you to swim in? And if you're already out too deep, will you find the courage to get down on your knees and to call for the chopper? And to let him come and pull you back. And I can speak about this church, whether you're in this room or you're watching online. This is a good place to be. This is a bunch of good people. At some point, have been pulled out of the water ourselves. And after you get off of your knees, find your way to somebody in this church. And we can help you get back to the shore. Let me pray for us. God, thanks for this time that we've had together. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your patience and your persistence with us. Lord, help us to be able to see those red flags more clearly so that we can just stay out of the water some days. So we can just avoid certain environments and certain things, certain relationships. God, just make it clear to us what those are for us. And Lord, all of us, in some ways, we're drifting. But won't you pull us back? Pull us back to shore. To be with you, and to be with other people that have experienced that same salvation. God, we love you. We pray that you, just this week, in some kind of surprising way, show your love to each of us. We pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.